Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100 Day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of the man that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, will be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world.
Is read by Stargate actor Chris Judge.
As humanity reaches out into space, we will acquire knowledge we cannot conceive of now.
Welcome back to another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry. And Chris read the hell out of that quote. His voice, I actually clutched my chest right here because I'm like, oh my God, I love hearing him read this quote. Welcome back to another episode, and welcome back William Matthews, who is our guest host this week, singer, songwriter, artist, and advocate. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So Chris Judge read this quote really, really eloquently. What resonates with you when you hear this quote?
Yeah, I think about space exploration, honestly. I just think about what is it out there that is part of us. You know, they say that we are made of stars. We are made of,
yes,
of the bits of the cosmos, right? On a molecular level. And I'm going, well, there's more of us out there, you know, there's more that is a part of us. And just on a practical level, I mean, we know the universe is abundant, which means that maybe there are things out there that can help us solve problems here. You know, maybe there's chemicals or there's things on other planets that can actually be of benefit and use to us. And so this quote to me really is about humanity reaching out because we know that part of who we are is out there. It's here, but it's also there.
I love your take on that, because what I've noticed in today's, you know, the news cycle going on these days is they've released all the documents, or a lot, not all. They've released a lot of documents about aliens, right? Perhaps being sighted here and coming here. And the other thing I've noticed, though, is in the last 10 years, any movie about an alien, the alien is hideous, mean, terrible, evil, and sent here to completely and utterly annihilate and decimate Earth. And that's interesting because it's almost setting us up when we talk about art and what it does for the masses, is it's almost setting it up to say, it's going to be bad, you guys. It's going to be real bad. I don't know if it's going to be real bad or not, because I vacillate. I think we're the bad ones sometimes, you know, or that the aliens are flying over us going, they're still bickering over skin color. No. We're not talking to them yet. But I love the optimism. Again, in the quote, it's saying, you know, reach out into space and we will acquire knowledge. And it's not just saying things and diamonds, like, because we'll find a planet made of diamonds, right? And then diamonds will be devalued or whatever. But right now, he's saying, we can't even conceive of it. And that is exciting to me. Although I'm going to say, Chris Judge made me a little scared the way he read it. He made it sound a little ominous.
You know, and to your point, Rachel, about a lot of sci-fi does set up the alien visitor as adversarial. This is another reason why I will like look to Star Trek, where they set the alien up as our friend or someone to learn from. And it's just a much more hopeful way of seeing the future. Whereas on the one hand, if we have these quote unquote horror movies that are scaring us into being afraid of aliens, Star Trek is trying to get us ready for the bounty, the things that we can, that will benefit us and them by cooperation. So, you know, introducing the concept of space aliens as our friends, I think works great in counterpoint to those other sci-fi stories where they set up the aliens as the adversaries.
Because they play into our worst impulses, those films and movies, and right, rather than simply, hey, good things can actually happen. And I think that was Gene's point and everything, right? Like, why are we always looking to the negative here? There are good things in space. There are good things about us. And when I look at this quote and I'm going, what is this knowledge, right? And yes, aliens, right? I think that's extraterrestrial life is an important question. Yeah. But even what's the commonality between us and them? The commonality would be, how do we get here? What is this place, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's the knowledge that we're seeking, even for all of us. So we have a commonality in the cosmos. If there are, and I believe there are, extraterrestrials out there, they're asking the same questions we are. They've got to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's such a good point. We always think about what we're going to do. We never think about, like, what are they thinking as they're approaching this new weird planet?
You know, I've mentioned this before. Like, the prime directive in Star Trek is that the Federation does not interfere with pre-warp civilizations so as not to affect their natural evolution. So we don't want to introduce our technology, and this is in the future, our future technology to less evolved life forms. I think that maybe that there's extraterrestrial life out there that probably has that same prime directive, that we are not ready yet. They're looking down on us being like, nope, they're not ready yet. They are not ready to deal with the realities of what interstellar community is like, so we're gonna pass on by and we'll catch you in 100 years.
We're waiting for
years,
them like, to get out of the Bronze Age in America, in the world.
Yeah,
it's a great quote though, because again, it says there's so much more, you know, because I felt like in this tech revolution, I remember in the 90s going, oh my god, look at all this stuff, and yet mm-hmm. we are still in the infancy, right? The bare if you ask me, we're in the bare bones infancy of what will be conceivable.
The internet is a baby. We think of it as some mature adult, but it really is a baby, and how we parent it, how we regulate it, how we develop it across the planet, right? Creating the actual infrastructure for this will speak a lot, like, to our value system, right? Yeah. Of like having equal access of information for all people on the planet, no matter what your race, class, gender is, right? Like, that should be one of our first priorities, instead of just, again, going into, you know, the capitalistic framework and monetizing it all, and right, and creating these superstructures around exploitation. We should be actually looking for ways in which we can share human knowledge just within ourselves.
Well,
first,
on a base level, springboarding off what you said, did anyone see that? I think it was Norway just said it's going to be illegal for influencers to Photoshop themselves or the image, and I think it's specifically for adverts when they're pushing products. But
or if they do, they have to say that it is a manipulated
photo. You can edit it, but you have to say that it's done. And I quite like that, because I do think there's this false idea of what people look like right now and what you should be, and this thing of perfection. Because as you said, when people say you look young, Rachel, I'm like, no, I really don't. You know what I mean? Because I'm a realist, and this isn't the truth, you know, where you're seeing the best version of me is the God's mm-hmm. honest truth, you know? And I think being able to admit that and strip it down, because it's, you know, and it's not really per this quote, but sometimes I worry for the people today, because I know when I was working on a TV show and I would come home and strip off the clipping hair and the lashes and the mm-hmm. things and look at myself afterwards, I felt real inadequate. I was like, oh, this is what I look like. And I was an actor and an adult prepared for that. I don't know what that does to the psyche of an 18-year-old, to be 100% honest. So, you know, I mean, it's all a part of a whole. And right now we're conceiving ourselves as perfect online, right? When we're over photoshopping our images or filtering them. And it makes me wonder what we're going to do when we're in outer space, you know? Like,
it tells me that we're not ready for outer space.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And again, there's no harm and no foul in putting up the best picture or touch it. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying when we start to buy into that as reality, then we're off base on getting to this future Gene speaks of. It's almost like a sidetrack. What is it called? Like when you're playing a video game, it's like a side quest, you know?
Yeah, side quest.
It's not the main goal, is not to make ourselves the most beautiful thing. The main goal is to understand each other enough so I think at least we have compassion and knowledge of each other, and we can conceive how this person looks so different than me, but we're so the same.
I think you raise such an interesting point, and to me this is what sets Star Trek on a very different course from a lot of other sci-fi, is that it is dealing with the shadow self so much. And you guys have been talking about that a lot on this podcast. It, you know, a lot of sci-fi wants to bypass that. It doesn't want to talk about the inner work that we have to do in order to prepare ourselves to receive this knowledge, to receive the, like, the thing that the cosmos is actually trying to tell us, you know? And I think that's kind of can be the rub sometimes. Like, if I hear people that talk about they don't like Star Trek and they don't know why, oftentimes it's because it forces them to look at themselves.
Yeah.
And it forces them to, like, get more philosophical, get self-reflective, actually question what they believe, think, you know, rather than just being spoon-fed, you know, here's what is perfection, here's which how you should live or whatever. I think Star Trek and Gene, you know, in proxy, right, is telling us that the more we see ourselves truthfully and in reality, as you're saying, Rachel, then we will be prepared to actually deal with these greater
and
things.
And I always say to people, you don't have to go spitzing your deep shadow secrets to everyone. In fact, you should be quite discerning, a word they use in the mm-hmm. Bible, discernment, yes. quite often. You should be discerning about who you share your intricacies with, right? Because you can have a friend who's great for hiking, but that may not be the person you want to talk about these important things. I mean, or I'm coming from a Hollywood perspective where, like, yo, no. What, how people can use that stuff against you is all I'm saying. So you want to share it with people who understand and have compassion for what you're talking about and don't throw it back at you at some other point, right? Because that's just going to make shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking to the last part of this quote, where space exploration will unlock knowledge which we cannot conceive of now, I think about this pretty often. I watch a lot of Star Trek, I watch a lot of sci-fi, and I think about this often in that. We as human storytellers, we're conditioned to think about aliens as like green skin, antenna, maybe more eyes, maybe more hands. Like, and it's that's like the prototype for alien, right? So a lot of our stories in books, on the radio, in film, and in television, they kind of circulate around those ideas of humanoid aliens. So when I think about the part of the quote where it says, where we cannot conceive of other things. So I tend to think of, like, what if there's extraterrestrial life that is completely gaseous or is completely made of light? What if alien life has tried to communicate with us and we just don't have any concept of that it's actually a sentient thing that's trying to communicate with us or some, when I just get esoteric about, like, extraterrestrial life, we tend to think about, you know, well, we hope it looks humanoid or it might look bug-like is, you know, bug aliens is another
or reptilian.
We can only filter through the things we've seen so far. And per exactly. this quote, there are so many things we have
that
yet.
That we can't even conceive of.
Correct. I mean, just go to a zoo and look at some of the weirdness there, right? And I couldn't even mm-hmm. conceive. There's a sea creature that looks like an alien. That's where they got yes. the alien from. It looks identical to the alien in the yep. movie Aliens.
And I'm convinced that there is life at the bottom of the ocean, which we cannot even reach because we haven't tried to explore the bottoms of the ocean.
We don't have the means yet, though. That's why we want to go that deep, but we don't have the science yet to really build an underground lab, you know, at the bottom of the ocean. We don't have that yet.
Well, if we can build a lab that floats in the void of space, isn't it kind of similar, or at least on the same scientific principles? I mean, like, we figured out how to get into space and yes. return, and we figured out how to go in space and live for
We haven't figured how to live in space yet, though.
Humans can be on a space station for up to a year, I think, so why can't we test that here on Earth? The ocean's right there.
Because we can't even find housing for the homeless when half the city apartments are empty. So
there you go.
I think it's...
Well, it's political will, like, right? Moral courage and political will to say that this matters and this will actually help us maybe even solve some of these problems like you're mm-hmm. talking about, Rachel, right? Like, that. I think that actually, that matters, too.
I think it all matters, you know? And anyway, we're going to wrap out on this quote, but I want to just reiterate Chris Judge read it, but I'm going to read it one more time before we sign off. As humanity reaches out into space, we will acquire knowledge which we cannot conceive of now. And that's for anything. Tomorrow, I'm going to learn something new, and I'm not going to be in outer space, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to learn something I couldn't have conceived of. So it's not just for outer, you know, the future or outer space, as we spoke about in this episode and other ones. It's about your inner space, too. Taking the time to explore your inner space, maybe not just being so quick to go, it's just the way I am. You know, I get it. Some things are just the way I am, but other things, it's the way I am, but I can shift it because I'm very attached to growing and trying to, I just want to be I want to be a better person when I leave than I was when I started. Yeah,
me too.
William, any final thoughts?
I wholeheartedly agree with both of you. I think that's kind of what unites us in this, or a lot of Star Trek fans, is that curiosity and that willingness to grow. That willingness to see the other and not be afraid, and to know that there's so much more out there that we have yet to, as Gene says, conceive.
All right, you guys, if you want to see Chris Judge read the quote, where do we send him, Trent?
We send them to our official Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And please check out this video, because Chris is wearing a really great shirt and there's going to be a test. So please check out his shirt. And join us again tomorrow, where William is our guest for one final time this week. One final time on Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote. So tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We are at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook, and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg, with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.